My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Vallely. He is also the head of Stand Up America, and he was also part of an important delegation recently that visited Egypt and met with some of the key officials there. And the object of the trip, of course, was to find out exactly what happened in Egypt during the transition earlier this year that some call a coup, what is happening currently, and where things are headed. And General, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. Happy to be with you again.
One of the conclusions from this delegation that you were a part of is that what happened in July when the Muslim Brotherhood government led by Mohamed Morsi was removed by the military, that it should not be called a coup. Explain why not and why it's important.
Well, when you're on the ground over there and you talk to the people, people that are involved in the economy, the students, the Coptic Church, for example, and the military, and we met all of those, you find out that there were two revolutions. The first one to replace Mubarak, who had been there for 40-some years. The second revolution was to replace the Muslim Brotherhood, Dr. Morsi. And what led up to the second revolution was that I think the Egyptian people got hoodwinked by the Muslim Brotherhood, portraying themselves as just a political party, when in fact there are three legs to the Muslim Brotherhood. And the population finally found that out as Dr. Morsi tried to take away their civil rights, support al-Qaeda in the Sinai, and support al-Qaeda and their military arm within Egypt. And the third was really to very openly discuss the global caliphate. So as a political party, they were more than that. They had a military arm as well as an international goal of spreading the global caliphate not only through the Middle East, but also throughout the world. And so a referendum was proposed to be voted upon, and basically the Egyptian people asked that Morsi get back in line with the Constitution and not attempt these other missions and goals of the Muslim Brotherhood. And he had 30 days to respond. He didn't do it. He continued to ignore the Egyptian people, and to prevent a civil war, General Sisi used the military basically to replace Morsi. So the military juntas, or a military takeover, usually would be in place as the leadership, but they didn't. They stood back, put in an interim civilian leadership, and continued to work out a roadmap for a new constitution. So it was not a military coup. It was a classic change of government because they didn't have impeachment as part of their constitution, so they had to use the military to prevent the civil war and to replace the government.
We're talking with retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Vallely. And General, one of the other big topics on this trip was the lack of U.S. military aid in the wake of this change of power in Egypt. And obviously, based on what we saw from the White House, it doesn't appear that they were all that excited about what happened to the Muslim Brotherhood government. What is the impact of the U.S. withholding assistance from Egypt, and in particular during this time of transition?
Well, it's a great impact. Number one, they're very disgusted, very disturbed of being an ally for the United States with the United States over 40 years, and basically have the ambassador, Jane Patterson, completely misread what was going on in Egypt and outright support of the Muslim Brotherhood. And of course, she works for Obama, and Obama ended up supporting the Muslim Brotherhood against the wishes and desires of the vast majority of the Egyptian people. So with that, we held up aid in their modernization program. And why that's critical, they have to keep that Suez Canal open. They need spare parts for their aircraft. They need the new Apaches, which were promised them, in order to be able to take on any actions, the surveillance as well as direct actions against Al-Qaeda that are building up in the Sinai Peninsula. So when you look at the Mediterranean, you look at Libya now, southern Libya, with training camps for Al-Qaeda, shipping of arms and Al-Qaeda forces up to Syria now. Egypt is faced with not only an external threat, but internal threats as well. And so that's why the military assistance program is very important to them.
General, for the most part, the violence seems to have subsided quite a bit since July, although there have been flare-ups, and I think there were even some this week. But is there a great fear without ongoing U.S. assistance that the Muslim Brotherhood could be back in power, or is the strong public support for what happened there likely to make sure that they don't come back to power?
Part of the 50 people across the board, farmers, students, members of the Egyptian population are involved in redoing the new constitution, which should be done by the end of the year. The problem is, how do you include in a democratic process a party such as the Muslim Brotherhood that pretends to be a political party, but yet they're more than that? They have a military arm in supporting Al-Qaeda forces. They have an international arm for the spread of the caliphate. And you have to have certain requirements to be in the democratic club, and you have to be a pure political party, which they're not. So the question was, how do we include them? Do we include them, or do we exclude them? So they're wrestling with that right now.
What do you expect the U.S. policy to be once this whole fiscal mess in Washington is sorted out here in the next few weeks? What do you expect to be the attitude towards Egypt going forward?
Well, hard to tell. Our national security team, the White House, particularly the State Department, even the Defense Department, need to go over there and meet with them on the ground, General Sisi and the interim president over there. They need to work out a strategy to support this long-existing ally. But, you know, we seem to be so incompetent in Washington now. I'm not optimistic about this government doing anything right when it comes to international affairs. And, you know, I was over in Syria and Turkey 6 months or 6 weeks ago. We have no respect anymore, no credibility. And that is a tremendous setback for us throughout the world, and particularly in the Middle East. So we need new leadership in Washington across the board. There's no doubt about that.
When you talk about a loss of credibility, is that recent? I mean, we've never been super popular there, but is there a precipitous drop-off in this administration?
Oh, tremendous drop-off. The lack of leadership, lack of a forward strategy of dealing with the countries over there. They see Putin and Russia and Iran completely outmaneuvering the United States diplomatically. And we're known as the declining superpower over there that can't come to the aid or support of allies or future democratic processes. Mm-hmm. And they see Obama basically supporting terrorists and the Muslim Brotherhood. That's through their eyes.
No, General, we're glad you're back safely, and we thank you very much for reporting on your trip. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Vallely, he's also the head of Stand Up America. He was part of a delegation sponsored by the Westminster Institute that recently returned from Egypt. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.